On Wednesday's front page, rebels blasted through the gates of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi's compound in Libya. An earthquake shook buildings and rattled nerves from the Carolinas to New England. And a judge in New York dismissed the sexual assault case against Dominique Strauss-Kahn. At the same time, an appeals court rejected his accuser's request for a special prosecutor. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says hundreds of rebel fighters poured into Colonel Muammar Gaddafi's fortress-like compound in Libya. They ransacked weapons left behind by Gaddafi loyalists. They also climbed atop a statue of a gold fist clinching an American warplane. As Times reporter John Burns tells us, that was an especially symbolic moment.
That statue commemorates the occasion on the 14th of April 1986 when President Reagan ordered aircraft to bomb Colonel Gaddafi's compound in retaliation for an attack shortly before that on La Belle nightclub in Berlin, a place favored by American troops in which three American soldiers and 229 people, including many other soldiers, were injured. Gaddafi has always claimed that in the ruined building that we can see behind that statue, that his adopted daughter Hanna was killed by a falling roof tile. There are reports, and they're quite credible in my view, that Hanna never died and that she is in fact now working as a doctor in Tripoli. If so, that would of course be another of the massive deceits that Colonel Gaddafi has inflicted on his people and the world.
Times reporter John Burns. The rebels searched for Gaddafi. He and his family were nowhere to be found. Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick says the rebels are now at a turning point. It's not clear whether seizing the compound will lead to a decisive victory or a prolonged street fight for control of the capital. Times reporter Mark Mazzetti tells us that along the way, the rebels have had a lot of help.
Behind the scenes over the last several weeks, the British, French, and other special forces have worked closely with the rebel troops. They have provided them satellite photos taken by American surveillance planes. They've given them conversations that were picked up by spy satellites where Gaddafi's troops were talking about how low morale was. There were also a steady supply of arms that came in over the Tunisian border that supplied the rebel factions in the western part of the country. It's really uncertain whether Colonel Gaddafi has a counterstrike in mind, and the big question is what next? The capital of Tripoli remains under intense fighting. The United States has already said it's not going to engage militarily, and so the rebels are going to have to largely fight on their own. They are still going to have NATO air support. However, the troops that are doing block-to-block fighting right now in Tripoli are not necessarily going to be reinforced regularly as they have been over the last several weeks.
Times reporter Mark Mazzetti. Also on Wednesday's front page, details on that 5.8 magnitude earthquake. It was based in Virginia and sent tremors as far north as New England. In Washington, the Capitol, the White House, and the Pentagon were evacuated for a while, as was City Hall here in New York. Seismologist Arthur Lerner Lamb says it occurred in an area of old geologic faults created several hundred million years ago when the Appalachian Mountains were forming. He says scientists expect quakes there, but it has been 136 years since the last big one. The coda to one of New York's most erratic criminal dramas lasted about 12 minutes. A judge dismissed the sexual assault case against Dominique Strauss-Kahn, the former head of the International Monetary Fund. An appeals court rejected his accuser's request for a special prosecutor. Times reporter John Elligo explains from State Supreme Court in Lower Manhattan.
Mr. Strauss-Kahn, for all intents and purposes, is a free man and will be free to go back to France whenever he wants. And this really wraps up this three-month back-and-forth twisting spectacle of a case that we've seen, where at one point the prosecutors were saying that their case was strong, that the victim was very credible, that she gave very unwavering testimony. And they've done a total 180 saying that, you know, the victim is not believable and that they cannot prove the case against Strauss-Kahn because they cannot ask a jury to believe a woman who they say has lied to them so many times.
Times reporter John Elligo. Longtime Tennessee women's basketball coach Pat Summitt says she has early onset dementia. She says she forgot things at crucial moments during games last season. She also says she struggled to keep track of when meetings were scheduled. She says she became so confused that sometimes she simply stayed home from work. Now she says she'll continue coaching as long as she can. She says she'll manage her symptoms with medication and mental exercises. In New Mexico, illegal immigrants can get the same driver's license as citizens. Republican Governor Susana Martinez says that attracts illegals who fraudulently claim they live in New Mexico. She says they want identification so they can settle into American life. In May, charges were filed against a man who advertised that he could get licenses for illegals. The Border Patrol arrested him in Albuquerque with illegal immigrants from Ecuador and Colombia. Ms. Martinez tried but failed to get the state legislature to change the rules. She says she'll try again next month. 7 years ago, New York's highest court allowed mothers to sue for emotional suffering when their babies are stillborn. Times reporter William Glaberson says the legal system is still trying to figure out the dollar amounts. One court approved a $1 million malpractice verdict against Wyckoff Heights Medical Center in Brooklyn. That's double the amount Lincoln Hospital in the Bronx has offered a woman who delivered a stillborn baby there. Inside Wednesday's Times, a look at Pakistan's embattled Baloch minority. Their increasingly violent struggle with the government has gone mostly unnoticed. Their leader's been on the run since 2006. He narrowly escaped a Pakistani army operation that killed his grandfather and dozens of tribesmen. Hurricane Irene is heading toward the East Coast. The Bahamas will bear the brunt of the storm over the next several days, but forecasters at the National Hurricane Center expect it to veer toward the Carolinas. Irene has been a Category 2 storm with sustained winds of 100 miles an hour. Forecasters expect it to increase its strength by the weekend. On Friday, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke will speak at an annual gathering in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. The markets will be listening. Stock markets have been up this week on hopes Bernanke will signal the Fed is putting more stimulus money in the pipeline. On Tuesday, the Dow Jones Industrials climbed 322 points to close at 11,176. And now we're going to close with some earthquake music. That's the Earthquake Quartet No. 1 for Voice, Instruments, and Seismograms by composer Andrew Michael. And that's our preview of Wednesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.